Yesterday we reflected a bit on the mystery of the priesthood because yesterday's readings spoke repeatedly about Melchizedek, the Old Testament priest. Today's first reading, continuing from chapter 7 of Hebrews and into chapter 8, it continues this reflection, and we can see why the author of the letter reflected on Melchizedek, because his point is that we have this high priest, we Christians, we have this high priest who is unlike any other priest. In order to make his point, he speaks about the difference between the priesthood of the old law and Jesus Christ. And just to summarize it, as I said yesterday, there's a different covenant, a new covenant. There's a different law, a new law. It says that at the end here, this son, this new high priest, has obtained so much more excellent a ministry as he is mediator of a better covenant, the new covenant, enacted on better promises and better law. Now, and there's no mention in the letter to the Hebrews, or at least explicit mention in the letter to the Hebrews, about what we consider the priesthood, the sacrament, the holy orders, and the Catholic priesthood. So it's interesting that many Protestant scripture scholars and Protestants in general interpret the letter to the Hebrews as a kind of anti-Catholic letter, because it speaks about the one priest, Jesus Christ, and there's no need for any more. That's why Protestant denominations don't have priests. And it speaks about the one sacrifice. In fact, it's in this reading. He doesn't need to sacrifice day after day, offer sacrifice day after day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. He did that once for all when he offered himself. So the once for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of the one high priest, is sufficient. And so you Catholics, you shouldn't go to Mass over and over again as if you're sacrificing Christ over and over again. It's already done. That's the argument. Now, I'm not sure how they respond if a Catholic says, well, we're not sacrificing Christ over and over again, and neither are we simply reenacting symbolically reenacting the Last Supper. The Catholic Mass is the making present of the one sacrifice of the one high priest, Jesus Christ. That's how we understand it. I don't know if they just don't understand it or if they don't accept it. But we agree with them on this point. There's one priest, and it's Jesus Christ. There's one sacrifice. It's the sacrifice of Christ, and that's sufficient. So we can rejoice in that new, heavenly, eternal priesthood. He lives forever, just at the beginning of the reading. Jesus is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them. His sacrifice is not sealed in the past. It's the eternal sacrifice. He's continually offering himself for us in the eternal now in heaven. What we have at Mass is an encounter with heaven. Heaven comes to earth in the Mass. In today's Gospel, it doesn't emphasize Jesus' role as priest. In fact, probably most of the people did not think he was a priest because he wasn't from the tribe of Levi. Jesus, remember, was from the tribe of Judah. And there are no priests coming from the tribe of Judah. So they didn't think of him as a priest. It's clear that most of these people in these large crowds considered him a wonder worker, a miracle worker, a healer, because that's what he did. Here we are, this is only the third chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and already Jesus has made an enormous impact, not only on Galilee, but also on Jerusalem and Judea and all over the place. And people are coming from everywhere to see him and especially to be healed by him. It looks to us perhaps like celebrity. And only on the surface is it celebrity, because the people are not are not attracted to him simply because he's popular, or it's not this frenzy that happens in modern times when people follow celebrities around. This is a popularity that has to do with genuine experience of power. Probably it's closer to the phenomenon of the people who go to a papal mass, for example. So when John Paul came to the Philippines and millions of people came to the mass, they didn't come simply because he was a celebrity, although he was, but they came because he was proclaiming the gospel, the truth, the faith. He was a witness. Well, here's Jesus drawing all sorts of people because of his healing power. But it's not clear from this reading whether these people come to faith in him. It is clear that the unclean spirits identify him. You are the Son of God. And he tells them not to make him known. Don't go telling everybody, I am the Son of God. You see, Jesus is facing a certain challenge here. This is part of his mission as God made man. He has to make known that God has become man and that the Savior of the world has arrived. And yet, he also wants to draw people to make an act of faith. He doesn't simply want to impress them with his healing power. So he wants to be known. He wants God, he wants the Father to be known. It's his mission. But he doesn't want to be known in the wrong way. So that's the difficulty he has here. And we also know, and this has come up in earlier passages from Mark, and certainly will come up later as we get into the later chapters of Mark, not only is he attracting a lot of attention from people who see him as a force for good, he's also attracting a lot of opposition. And that opposition will grow and grow. That's the difference between him and a typical celebrity. Celebrities, when people oppose them, they just forget about them. Celebrities lose their popularity. But a person who stands for truth, a person who proclaims the truth, will not simply be forgotten. Very often they will be strongly, even violently opposed. And that's what happens to Jesus. His priesthood is going to be exercised in the sacrifice of himself. Well, it's not, doesn't come out in this gospel, although it does say that he was at risk of being crushed by the crowd, which might be an allusion to that the prophecy about the crushing of the Messiah, like grapes to make wine. Here he's it's not time for him to be crushed. It's not time for him to be persecuted to death. It's time for him to make known the arrival of the kingdom of God. He's more in a prophetic role at this stage of his ministry. But will the revelation of his divine power move people to faith or not? That part, we're left with uncertainty. We don't know if these large crowds will actually believe who he really is. They might just limit him to a wonder worker, or if they receive a healing from him, they're satisfied. That's as much as they want. They don't want the truth. They don't want to be shaken out of their old ways. And this is the challenge to us. The new priest has come. The new law has come. The new covenant is here. The newness of eternal life is available to us, but it's not forced upon us. We have to make an act of faith and accept it. Jesus says, "Here I am. I come to do your will, O Lord." But he's inviting us also to say, "Here I am. I also come to do the will of God." And that's a response of faith that each one of us is called to make.